Recently, we featured Wailua High School robotics teacher Glenn Lee, who was in the running for a $1 million prize. He lost out to an educator in England, but he wasn't the only representative from Hawaii at the Educational Summit in Dubai, where the prize was awarded. Paul Turnbull is the Mid-Pacific President of the school. He just returned from the Global Skills Conference, which focused on preparing our youth and our teachers. He talks about how Hawaii schools can better position themselves in this rapidly changing world of technology.
And my particular view, representing Mid-Pacific Institute, was to go and talk about educational technology and specifically immersive technologies that would allow virtual classrooms and virtual teachers to expand influence across the world.
Now, technology is moving so fast. There are projections that robots are going to replace people in a lot of jobs. And so how are we integrating this artificial intelligence and the technology into the high school classrooms?
Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right about artificial intelligence and technology. Studies are showing between 40 and 47% of jobs that can be automated will be automated. And we're talking about by 2030, which is really 12 years away. And in technological terms, it's a lifetime. But in our terms, on the everyday standpoint, it seems long or from now, but it really isn't. So that means that education from kindergarten through 12th grade has to start looking at not only the introduction of computer coding skills at a very early age, but more importantly, it's the ability to transform learning from the traditional learning aspect that we used to experience, which is memorization, regurgitation, and then most likely forgetting, but not applying that information. Today, what we have to do is actually move away from that, and we move toward mastery of skills, understanding the core competencies of what we need per academic skill. But it also then means that we have to look at very humanizing skills. And so 21st century skills refer to predominantly collaboration, deep communication, critical thinking, the ability to influence networks from afar. Doesn't mean that you and I speaking in person is less important, but it means that my ability to influence somebody from all the way around the world, perhaps, to think the way that I think actually becomes very important. And all those things are outside the realm of artificial intelligence. The influencing of individual thought and the influencing of strategy making is something that will be very, very important outside of machine learning.
Now, I know when you were hired at Mid-Pacific Institute, one of the things that appealed to the school was that you had this interest and emphasis on technology. And folks had said Mid-Pacific Institute was positioned because it was a school that was small enough that could move quickly with some of these ideas and advances and how to integrate those ideas into the curriculum. Can you share with us, what you've been able to do so far or what you got back from the conference as to whether, we're on the right track?
Mm. So the first thing is to recognize not only my predecessor, Joe Rice, for implementing an incredible platform, a foundation for technology, but also the board to see the future. All the way through the recession, when many schools were slowing down or scaling back, we actually stepped on the gas in terms of technology. So since I arrived, some of our signature platforms that we've actually developed and now executed include the Immersive Technology Program. So that means that we have middle school through high school students who are creating content for virtual reality, immersive technologies, versus just consuming that content. That means 360-degree video for virtual reality. We have classes in animation and game design for 3D and virtual reality. And we also have, right now, definitely the only program in the country, I think, also in the world, using three-dimensional LIDAR scanning. So laser scanning for cultural preservation, which means that now our students have essentially partnerships with 7 different museums in Honolulu. We have the ability to have the community as a classroom. So students are studying history by capturing artifacts from history every day and then gifting those 3D files back to the community.
Now, you're working on a particular project out at Honolulu, if I recall.
So 2 years ago, we completed that project with the National Park Service and then in conjunction with a few other partners. That's right. And so ultimately, the story there was, how do you recreate a story of an internment camp something that is unique in terms of Honolulu, but also with sort of the darker aspects of U.S. history. How do you bring that to life in a way that students and individuals today can actually appreciate it in a more three-dimensional aspect? So we 3D scanned a large portion of Honolulu, or Honolulu, and in so doing, we recreated that part of the camp. And because it's been recreated and can be actually 3D printed in some cases right down to the millimeter, it means that history has been brought to life. It's been brought to life through the viewpoints and the aspects of students, and they can tell a peer-to-peer story better than many adults can say, oh, this is a really important thing for you as a 15-year-old. You should understand it. Now it's peers talking to themselves using three-dimensional technology.
So that's an example of how we're using that technology to bridge the gap with cultural preservation and resources.
Yes, exactly.
And then what about professional development for your teachers? Because they've got to keep ahead of the kids, you know, even though the kids are moving at, you know, lightning speed.
Exactly. So actually, Mid-Pacific has a professional development strand, an entity unto itself called Kupuho Academy. And our teachers are taught project-based learning and deeper learning through that specific model. So all of our teachers have access to that as a sort of foundational introductory training. And then we are also partners with the Harvard Graduate School of Education's Research Schools International, which means that our teachers, so six of our teachers this year are faculty fellows. Those fellows conduct action research on campus based on educational trends. Then the Harvard folks help us with the evaluation of our data, and then that translates into professional development. So ultimately what happens is that these fellows provide training for their peers, and over the last 3 to 5 years, what we've done with that partnership is essentially add a deeper level of training for all of our teachers. So we have that foundational aspect through Kupuho Academy, and then with our faculty fellows, we can get to the point now where we can say essentially 100% of our teachers have received some sort of peer-to-peer training that is backed by the Harvard Graduate School of Education.
And so what was the takeaway for you at this big summit, this conference in Dubai? Are we on the right track? Do we need to be further along? You know, what are other schools doing in this area?
I think, so ultimately, when you're looking at the question, what do we need to do to prepare students for 2030 and beyond, children today? And by the way, 2030 sounds like it's far away, but we're talking about students who are in first grade. So you can look at the future and you can see it walking around your campus. So the takeaways immediately from the from the conference were that this is a global issue, and that UNESCO projects by 2030 something like a 65 or 69 million teacher shortage. So shortages of teachers up to 69 million people. We are in a place at Mid-Pacific where I've walked away believing that we're far ahead of the curve. We have our professional development strands. We have our research partners in terms of immersive technology, the ability for our students to break down geographic barriers and speak to their peers in other hemispheres about the same subject, and to use technology to bring everybody together, ultimately means that not only are we addressing these issues, but we're executing these issues. And the ultimate goal is that when it comes to important technologies, I don't want our students to be consumers only. I want them to be creators. And because we're so far ahead of the curve right now, that means that by the time our students leave high school, go to college, they're going to be leaders in these particular areas. So I'm really comfortable with where Mid-Pacific stands relative to the conversation at the conference in Dubai. I believe there's a lot of runway left. However, there's a lot for us to do. Those humanizing skills I spoke about, social emotional learning becomes exceptionally important. And now our big challenge is the integration of the arts, of humanities and technology together in such a way that ultimately what we start to discover is almost a moral intelligence, not an emotional intelligence, but a moral intelligence that will help us guide machine learning and artificial intelligence.
Right, because lots to think about with ethics and, you know, just what's appropriate. Even though we've collected all this data, you know, with the internet and social media, then what do we do with it? How do we interface and how do we make it work for us rather than, you know, it using us, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. The ability for artificial intelligence to perform discrete tasks, and even if you start talking about neural nets and the ability for it to apply machine learning and come up with new solutions, that's one thing. But it will only do what is sort of within the parameters that were originally set. Our job as individuals and as humans is to really take a look at what those parameters should be and then how fluid can they be as we move forward.
That was MIDPAC President Paul Turnbull talking about preparing our keiki and our teachers in this fast-moving world of technology.